And then here's another few phrases here. And so all Israel will be saved. Romans 11:26. We know that one well, don't we? And we rejoice in that one. And another one, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. And another one, God has not cast away his people Israel, whom he foreknew. Romans 11:2. His ways, his strategies are past finding out. Incidentally, that's our important verse for our seminar. His strategies. God's strategies for the Jewish nation, 9, 10, and 11. His ways are past finding out. He's not caught by surprise. He's not wringing his hands, scratching his head. What are we going to do now? His plan is running on time and according to purpose. And then a lovely verse, which is a favorite of mine and a blessing to all of God's people everywhere. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Grab it, brothers and sisters. Originally to Israel, God said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Well, we're going to read a verse a little later on about God hating some people. But for the nation of Israel, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, O Israel. Read those verses in context. Now, turn the page, please, and we'll have a look at our pictures. Operation Olive Tree, Romans 9 to 11. We have three trees there, and representing Romans chapter 9. Of course, someone would say, and rightly so, look, we really don't get the olive tree until we come to Romans 11. Yes, but remember that there were those three statements in our summary passage about there's the election, concerning the election. Well, here in Romans 9, we find that Israel's election is past in the purposes of God, and we have described for us in that chapter the roots and the branches coming into existence. We have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and then the trees growing, the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what we find in the Old Testament. Roots and branches growing. God setting up the nation in sovereignty to do something with it. The Messiah comes, the first coming. He ends up being rejected and crucified. And then in the teaching of Romans chapter 10 and 11, we find that they are rejecting God and they are rejected by God. And even though we find that that is explained in detail in Romans 11, we find that at that time the branches are broken off. And that's where we are today. They are broken off from that great olive tree. May I just say in passing, this is not the tree of salvation. This is the tree of covenantal privilege. Because most of the Jewish nation were in it as unbelievers, Christ rejecters, and got broken off. It's national covenantal privileges that people have. And in the background in Romans 10, we find that there are the Gentiles there getting ready to enjoy being grafted in, which is the real truth of Romans 11, when Israel is restored, and that is the future, after the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes back, they will turn to him, or before he comes back, they will turn to him, and the branches of that generation that were broken off in the first century and still broken off today, not entering in to the blessing of the Abrahamic Isaac covenant and covenant with Jacob and so on, they still remained cut off, cast away. But in the return of the Lord Jesus and the coming theocratic messianic kingdom, that final generation are grafted back into that privilege, and of course the Gentile people known as the wild olive tree are also in there and will be enjoying that kingdom. Now we're going to have a look at those three trees. Please turn the page and we'll do our best to do this. So Romans chapter 9, this is now that first box and that first picture that tells us gives us an indication of what the Apostle Paul is teaching here. And what we have here is we have the revelation of the patriarchal family in Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 reveals the patriarchal family, which is made up of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, developing into the 12 tribes of Israel. The olive tree with roots and branches. The family, of course, is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we have Sarah and Rebekah and Isaac and Jacob and Esau. And these are found in Romans chapter 9. So just keep that in mind, will you, as we go through these notes. Let's turn to page 8 now, please. Page 8. Of course, you're welcome. You will have to have a look at this at home. We're just presenting this as best we can. Well, first of all, we had a look at that introductory phrase in Romans 1, 16 and 17, the gospel being to the Jew first and also to the Greek, and in it is to be a righteousness from God, that is a gift of righteousness, of justification on the basis of faith, as the scripture had said, even in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. Now, we have a number of things to look at here. First of all, as in our notes, Paul's desire for Israel. This is very moving. We find that this is not just an academic subject, but this is something that is very close to the heart of the Apostle Paul. He's going to talk about his people. He's not just going to put them aside and say, in Aussie language, ah, too bad, they turned against Christ, but we're enjoying Christ. No, he has a burden. He has a burden. I tell you the truth in Christ, verse 1. I am not lying, my conscience also, bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brothers, my countrymen, according to the flesh. So we have some burden and some passion here. Oh, that we had more of that. Oh, that we had more of that. Oh, I love to go to prayer meetings where there's burden. A burden to pray. Paul had it for his people. And now he is going to elucidate on this. Now they have some privileges. And look, we have them listed here. Who are Israelites? To whom pertain the adoption? So he's going to say, look at this people. Look at the privileges God gave them, which he didn't give to other nations. They are elect of God. They're very close to God. And I'll go through the list here. Here they have the adoption. That is, they're the highest son in the human family. The adoption. The glory, the Shekinah glory. The covenants from God with them and no one else. The law received at Sinai. The priestly services to approach him and to see his glory. The promises that God made with them. Oath, sworn promises, says in Hebrews. He couldn't go any higher, so he swore by himself. The promises, they're unconditional regarding future blessing. Future enjoyment is conditional, of course. They must repent and believe, but those promises will be fulfilled. Come what may, I will. And then the patriarchs, which comes to the fore now in Romans 9. The patriarchs, the ancient fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I love the phrase, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. We might say, of course, he's the God of everybody. Well, of course, he is in one way. But these are covenantal men, you see. Covenantal men. Give me another name, please, that God made a covenant with a man. Noah, that's a good one. David, yes, that's an important one, a very important one. That's it. Through Moses, yes, you're right, the Mosaic Covenant. Adam, excellent, yes. And then finally, to top it all off, what's next? The Messiah. What a privilege the nation had. And in Nehemiah, we find that it's mentioned that it's a great calling. And also in Amos 3:1, a great nation. Let's have a look at Amos, the book of Amos in our Bibles. Daniel, Hosea, Amos. Keep your finger in Romans 9. We'll be coming back there in just a moment. The book of Amos. I'll give you time to find it. And then when I found it, I'll tell you a little story. Hosea, Joel, Amos.